Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's start today with the continuing fallout from yesterday's resignation of the headmaster of Boston Latin School. Lynn Mooney Tata stepped down after months of controversy and an ongoing federal inquiry into allegations of racism at the school. In a letter to the school community, Tata said she made the difficult decision in the best interests of Boston Latin students and that, quote, over the 9 years of my tenure as headmaster, we have built the foundation to create a more welcoming and inclusive school environment, there is still more work that needs to be done. Boston Latin is the city's premier exam school, and the debate over its troubles with race and inclusivity have spilled over to questions about similar challenges across the entire Boston Public School District. So a little earlier today, we spoke with City Councilor Andrea Campbell for her take on this. She is an alumna of Boston Latin, and I started by asking her for her reaction to Lynn Mooney Tata's resignation.
I think it's extremely significant. I must say, because of the way in which it happened, it was a surprise not only to me, but for even the three people who work with me who are Boston Latin School alum. One just graduated this year and is interning in my office. So it's definitely sent shockwaves and a ripple through, I think, the Latin School community. And this is an institution with an extensive history, so to have it happen in such a manner has been shocking and unsettling.
So do you think that this move to have the headmaster step down was necessary, though, to make some progress in dealing with the core issues that are roiling Boston Latin?
I don't know. I've met when these allegations and when the BLS Black students came forward to talk about some of their horrific experiences and the way in which they were handled or not handled correctly, I met with the headmaster. I met with the dean of discipline, Mr. Flynn, who was the dean of discipline when I was a Latin school student. And I continued to meet with parents and students, and my office helped with some of the allegations that came forward, and we were able to resolve some of those. And at no point at that time did I have parents or students who asked me directly for her to resign. If anything, they thought that we as alum, including electeds, needed to work with her in the administration to think about how we respond to issues of race, issues of oppression, prejudice. So this is a shock, and only the future will tell us if this was the right move. Right now, I'm more concerned about how we as alum support the students, support the administration and BPS in the transition and go forward.
Well, so talk to me more about that. I mean, how would you like that to be handled? Because, I mean, really, the question now, which you were alluding to, is what can the district do? What can the school do in order to support students at Boston Latin, and not only at Boston Latin, but across the district? Because I think what happened, you know, at the city's premier exam school has really reignited the conversation about race across Boston public schools in general.
And that is exactly what it did. And the problem for me from the get-go is that we were tending to hyper-focus these issues of equity, of race, on Boston Latin. And for me, that was short-sighted, and that was, I've said this in the past, narrow-minded. These are issues that are present across the entire city of Boston, not just in the space of education. So we need to talk about these issues in the bigger context of equity. I am a proud graduate of Boston Latin School. I would not be where I am today if it weren't for Latin School. I would not have went to a Princeton University or a UCLA law school but for Latin. But I am acutely aware that others did not have the same experience that I did at Latin and that there has been a significant decline in the students of color. So this is a conversation that we need to have at a larger level, and we need to ask the question, why do students who live in a certain geographic location, why do certain students who have a certain race or those who are poor don't have access, equitable access to quality education? And it's bigger than Latin School. And I think if we continue to make it about Latin, we'll be back in the same space few years from now, just in the context of another school.
I take your point, and I want to ask you more about the district as a whole in a second, but can you, if you don't mind me asking, this isn't a roundabout way of me asking how old you are, but what years did you go to Boston Latin?
I graduated Latin in 2000.
In 2000. Okay. Can you just describe to me what the environment was like when you were there, since, you know, you graduated in 2000, and it seems like at that point in time there were more students of color.
There were definitely more students of color, and I had a positive experience at Latin, because for me, Latin school was a space in which I could go in and put my head down, focus on my academics, focus on some of the after-school programs I participated in, and frankly leave the world behind that I was dealing with, that I was suffering in. So things that were happening at my home, we were poor, my father was someone who was recently incarcerated and dealt with a lot of anger issues. There were things happening in the community. So Latin school was an escape for me. But for those around me, some of whom graduated and some of whom didn't, who were my peers, my colleagues, they didn't have the same experience at Latin school, and I was cognizant of that. And if anything else, BLS Black reminded me of some of those experiences and the work that Latin school has to do. But we didn't necessarily talk about it. So this is a unique opportunity for us to work with Latin, to talk about those issues, those experiences, and to come up with solutions, concrete solutions, to create a better environment. This Saturday, ironically, this Saturday, I'm meeting with a large group of alum of color who are coming back, some of whom are reconnecting with the school for the first time since they graduated in the 60s or 70s, to be a support for Latin school to do this work and to help them create a productive and healthy and safe environment, not just for kids of color, for every single kid, regardless of how they identify.
Right. So here's, I think, your personal story and what you just said really underscores the reason why there has been so much focus on Boston Latin School. I mean, I heard you say that it provided you a refuge. It transformed your life. Being there at that school has allowed you to become the person that you are. And that opportunity should be available, should be available for any student of color who wants to take the exam and pass the exam and get there.
Absolutely.
But we're seeing a school now that it's basically its ratio of students of color is virtually the opposite of the district as a whole, right? So I guess that's the reason why people have been focusing so much on Boston Latin, that it should look more like the rest of the district in order to say, you know, with pride, we're providing the same access to all Boston students who want to be able to come here.
Absolutely. And I would say we have work to do at the district level, not only in terms of increasing those numbers at Latin school, but at other schools that provide a quality education where we see more white students and we see less students of color. So we could go through a Rolodex of the 128 schools in the district and say, these schools that are classified as level one schools, how much of those of that student population are kids of color. And we'll probably see that they're predominantly white students. So that means that we need to have a larger conversation about why are students of color not gaining equal access to all of these schools. And I want to pull it out of the context of just Latin school and make it a larger conversation. I was at Latin, actually, when they started to reverse those set-asides, and that lawsuit was filed by a white student who did not gain entry to Latin. And I remember the tough conversations then about what that would mean for our school. And obviously it's played out in a certain way that we're not happy with. But we can't choose to just focus on Latin school when having those conversations. We need a concrete plan at the city level, at the district level, to make sure that every student who wants to attend Latin school has equitable access. And that starts with looking at what access do they have to early ed, K-1, elementary school, middle school. Are we preparing them to take that exam? Are they reading at the third grade level? Are they doing math at the third grade level when they're in the third grade? So we have work to do that's bigger than simply looking at Latin school's numbers.
So, Councillor Campbell, then, I mean, are there any specific next steps that you'd like to see Superintendent Tommy Chang take, given the concerns and the vision that you just outlined?
I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to pretend I have all the answers, but it has to be more comprehensive. I was at a meeting not too long ago with Marie St. Flour, who's been advocating in her new role for additional early education and what that means for community and kids of color, creating new possibilities for giving students access to exam prep. So, for example, if kids have to take the exam to get into Latin, are there services and resources for the parents, for the students, for them to be fully prepared to take that exam? And so I look forward to sitting down with the superintendent. I talked to him yesterday. I look forward to sitting down with him and bringing some thoughts and ideas. I don't have all the answers, but I know it starts with acknowledging the problem, which is that we don't have a quality, and we cannot, if a parent is looking to enroll a student in a school, a quality school, they cannot identify a quality school from K-1 to the 12th grade. That's a problem. And so we have to make sure that the solutions we're generating are to address that problem.
Do you think that Superintendent Chang is the right person right now to help Boston Public Schools get further down that road?
I think so. I have been in contact with him. He's been responsive to me. He understands the seriousness of this. At the end of the day, he just got here, so we have to give him time to work. We have to give his team time to work and to grow in their positions at the end of the day. I'm relatively new as well to the city council. I'm only in my sixth month here, and we just can't pretend we know all the answers, but we have to be open-minded and invite all those who are passionate and committed to doing the work. We have to make sure they're invited to the table.
Andrea Campbell is a Boston City Councilor. Pleasure to speak with you, Councilor Campbell. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.